What a wonderful God we have, amen? All right. So I was going to come up here and I was going to tell you this really funny joke. And so I was thinking to myself, well, I'll walk up here and I'll say, you know, this is a really, really special day. The Sunday after Cinco de Mayo. Happy Cinco de Mayo! And then I started thinking about it. And I realized that even though I told the joke, that this day is an important day. It's a very important day. It's an important day because it's the Lord's Day. It's an important day because of what Jesus did for us. It's an important day because of the love of our God. But it's an important day because today is a day that we remember our mothers. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the women here who are biological mothers and have sought to raise their children in the Lord. Happy Mother's Day to all of our church moms. You guys might have heard, because I forgot to turn my mic off, calling Mama Pearl, my spiritual mom. I love her. She cares for me. She's important to me, and as well as my other spiritual mothers here. I don't mean to minimize that in any ways, but the importance of a mother in the life of a child is something that is just so important, so deep, that to treat it like a joke or to minimize it would just be unfair to mothers. The fact of the matter is, mothers end up dealing with very, very difficult situations. They struggle with difficulties. Because from the moment, and please, can I just ask your permission to be foolish for a minute? Can I have your permission? Because, thank you. Because the reality is, I'm going to speak about something I don't know anything about. And when we do that, we speak out of our ignorance. And so all I can do is share what I've learned from others in this aspect. And so when I look at a mother's struggle, and I see that here she is with this little baby that has come out of her, and she holds it in her arms, and she looks at all the hopes, all the dreams for the future of this little child. She's instantly faced with all kinds of questions, questions that intellectuals and scholars have tried to figure out. Do you pick the baby up when it cries, or do you let it cry? And when that baby, that little baby is crying, what does it need? Does it need its diaper changed? Does it need milk? Does it need, what does it need? What is this little baby trying to say to me? And as that child grows, there's different difficulties. You start asking yourself questions like, how do I take care of this child? Who do I entrust my child to? I can't just take it to any daycare, because just any daycare may not teach my child to love the Lord. And so I have to think about, do I want my child to be in daycare? Should I homeschool my children so that they have the Lord built into their curriculum? Should I try and find a private Christian school? Or do I trust in the Lord enough to say that the teaching that they get at home will protect them from the secular thinking of our school systems? What do I do to raise this child? And then they get bigger and bigger, and more questions come in, like, should I allow them to go to that party? Is this something that's going to be beneficial to them? And so you start getting all these swelling questions and difficult situations that nobody really can equip you for. Because even when you go to godly mothers and other people, their children are not the same as your children. And so they can give you principles, but really what's right and what's wrong for your child, God entrusted that specifically to you as a mother. And so oftentimes you're going to end up feeling deeply confused and wondering, did I make the right choice? Did I lead my child in the way that God would have me to lead them? And the simple fact is that Moses' mother knew this reality all too well. Moses' mother was put in a really, really difficult situation. Now, if you don't have a history of Moses, which I think probably everybody in here does, You don't realize how serious this was. All baby boys were to be put to death. They were to be killed. Only girls. And so Moses' mother is put in this difficult situation. And we see in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, says, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months." Can you imagine what she must have been thinking? Holding that child in her arms and realizing that his very life was in danger. That she had to hide him. She had to tuck him away, because if anybody found out, if the Egyptians found out, that beautiful little boy was going to be gone. And so she is here with this baby, and at 3 months, it starts to click. I can't protect him. I can't protect him. I have no choices here, because if they find him, he's dead. And if I send him off on his own, he's dead. Right? He's a 3-month-old baby. I can't just go put him somewhere. Either way you look at it, she was faced with a very, very difficult situation and had to be asking herself, how do I make sure that this beautiful little boy, this little boy who I love deeply, will be cared for? How do I ensure that he gets everything that he needs? And so, as we look further in the story, we see that godly mothers will caringly work for our good. They'll caringly work for our good. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket from him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile." You see, with all of these bad situations, all of these bad circumstances, Moses' mother was left with no good options. But what she did was to create an environment that gave her child the very best opportunity. Now, when you look at this idea of this pitch and basket and stuff and leaving a baby in the reeds, that's pretty risky stuff. Because by the Nile, they have crocodiles. They have other animals that are dangerous. They have other things that could cause this little baby harm. Well, she can't keep the baby. And so she creates this basket. And what does this basket do? It provides protection. It gives him a way to be covered so that he's not readily identifiable to those threats and those things that are out there. Now, one of the things that's important for us to realize is that this wasn't really just some half-baked idea that she came up with. Like, well, I'll just make a basket and I'll toss him out in the water and we'll just see what happens. Good luck, little fella. No. You see, when we understand that the Nile and what the Nile was to the Egyptian people, their river was very, very different than our rivers. Our rivers are made for rafting, right? Let's get out there. Let's go rafting. Let's get out the kayaks. Or you picture the fisherman out there in his waders, and he's got his fly rod out there just casting and pulling, casting and pulling. And if you've seen the Geico commercial, gotta be quicker than that, right? So we envision rivers from that perspective of like fishermen and rafters and those kinds of things. But the Nile to the Egyptian people was life. It was everything. The Nile was the place that they bathed. The Nile was the place that they washed their clothes. The Nile was the place where they got water. And so when Moses' mother put him out in that circumstance, she knew that people would be coming along the Nile. She knew that there would be those that were there. And I'm certain that she knew that Pharaoh's daughter bathed in that general area. And so in her heart, for her little baby boy, she hoped and prayed that someone would come along, look in that basket and love that little baby boy as much as she did? Would care for that little baby boy and his well-being as much as she did? And so, we look at this and we recognize, okay, mothers are faced with difficult decisions. You see, the reality for us in practical times is that a mother goes through these hardships. She sees the world around her child and oftentimes looks at all the things that could go wrong, all the different things. There's no good possibilities in this world because the fact of the matter is that Satan is the ruler of this world. And so instead of a Pharaoh who's coming after your children, a Pharaoh who's out there and trying to destroy, Peter describes it as this in 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You see, as mothers, and especially as godly mothers, you realize that there are dangers in our world, that Satan has infected this world with sin, and that he's aligned himself with those who would be willing to do his wicked deeds, those who would follow after his path of rebellion with God. And so as mothers, you have to be looking and saying to yourself, what can I do? How can I protect my child? How can I put my child in a place where they will have the best possible chance of surviving this dangerous place that they have been born into? So the reality is we need to build baskets, don't we, for our children. Our children need something, some place that they can be safe. And so the beauty of this is we've been talking through Acts, and that's where I want to go back to, because the fact of the matter is that when the apostles were looking at that first century church, when they had these 3,000 people that had come together, and now they're having to guide them, they were placed in that same role as what a mother does, a nurturing role. I have to care for you. I have to provide the best for you. And so when we look at Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 45, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold their property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. You see, the reality is that if we raise our kids with these principles, God can do amazing things. The apostles' doctrine, the word of God. Are we not told, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path? When we inject in our young people, from the youngest of ages, the love for the Lord that is there. You see, everything, the apostles' doctrine, all of what they taught was based on two principles. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so God was calling his people to be a people of love. When you work with your child at a young age to instill in them this love, this deep and passionate love for God, you are building a basket of protection around them. When you take your child and you teach them what fellowship is, that it's not a really awesome meal we have once a month, but that fellowship is an abiding in something, to be deeply embedded and a part of something, and you teach your children, you are a part of God's family, and you are valued, and you receive the inheritance, and you are blessed. You are a child of God. And so they grow up understanding that God loves them and that they are a part of his family. And it infects their soul so much that they care for every person that is sitting around them and loving them deeply. When we remind our children through communion, through the breaking of the bread, what Jesus did for them, his death on the cross, we remember that body broken and that blood shed, and we have in our hearts this understanding that it changes everything. You know, at the Pepperdine Lectureship, the idea was to be cruciformed. And what that means is that the cross changes and shapes your life. That you recognize what he gave up for you, and that you in turn crucify yourself daily. Take up your cross and follow him. And when we give this to our children, teaching them the simplicity of the gospel, we create this basket for them. When we encourage them to go to God in prayer, and we teach them to keep that link, to have that connection, that love, and share that with God, their wants, their needs, right? We're told, be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. And so that prayer and teaching them from a very young age, and this is something that's important in our culture, it's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the family. They had all things in common. Their world was wrapped in each other. And when they looked and they said, this brother, this sister doesn't have, I want them to have. Is there anything more beautiful than when a child gives their toy away? Isn't that the most beautiful thing in the world? They love this little toy and they go, I want you to have it. And you try and give it back and they go, no, that's your toy. No, that's your toy. You see, when we raise our children in this aspect, we give them that basket. We're placing them in this basket, and we are saying, this will keep you safe until the time that you're found. One other aspect of this, I want to read, and this is a side note, but I think it's important for all of us. In Exodus 2, verses 4 through 10, it says, his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, saying, I drew you out of the water. Now, one of the side note I want to give is the idea of the big sister. What did Moses' sister do? She sat there and watched over baby Moses, didn't she? That is our role as church family. To come alongside of parents to say, I will be there. I will help you shape this basket. I will watch out over your child. I will look and I will care for them and I will treat them as if they were my own. Now, the important aspect to learn of this is that you're the sister, not the mother. Amen? Now, what do I mean by that? God entrusted the parents of our children to be the parents of our children, and so we have no right to work against what they teach, to work against how they're raising their children. We need to come alongside them and support them. You know, one of the things that I think is most discouraging to me, I was talking with my mentor, and he was sharing his heartache because godly people who thought they were doing godly things decided to tell his children certain things that they were getting wrong. Stuff that really was his responsibility and his wife's responsibility. And that damaged his children. They don't go to church. They don't have a relationship with God. And so we have to be careful. Our actions have consequences. We were talking about that in our class on Sunday morning, about how God said, I will judge not you, but your children and your children's children. And the reason God had to judge was because the parents set things up wrong so that those children were left with no room for anything but judgment. They did not know how to walk in the Lord. Our choices have actions. So I wanted to encourage you guys in that, but I also wanted to remind you of this idea that we have a part. Oh boy, I better hurry up. Okay, so the other point is that godly mothers will trust God with the outcomes. Okay, now the fact of the matter is that Moses' mother made a plan. She knew what she needed to do, and she set that plan in motion. But what she had to do was to trust in God that everything else was going to work out, that the pattern would come through, and that everything would be what it was meant to be. And so she put her trust in God. Now, I would love to tell you that every story ends just like the story of Moses. I would love to say, put your kid in the basket, put him by the river, and in the end, they're going to receive everything they need. And Moses did. She got him back. By giving him away, she got him back. She got him back with protection, and she was able to nurse him and to love him. And so I would love to tell you, hey, you know what? Your kids are going to definitely be in Jesus if you follow this pattern. But the problem is your children will not stay 3 months old. They will grow up. They will make choices. And some of them will make choices that will not be for the Lord. But what I can tell you is this, and this is where I want to encourage you, is that if you raise your children in this, and you give them that basket, that best possible opportunity, and you trust in the Lord that He is going to take care of it, you have freedom. You have the freedom to love your children deeply because you're not going to spend those nights awake panicking. You're going to go to God in prayer like we talked about, right? Be anxious in nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, make your request made known to God. You're not going to stay up all night. You're going to go, God, I'm concerned, but you got it. I've given them the tools, and I'm going to trust you to care for them. And so you will be free to love and to hold your children and to embrace them. And I'm telling you, when you let those anxieties go, you're not going to give those to your kids. Do you realize that children pick up on tension? If you're tense and you're anxious, they're going to feel anxious. But if you're free to love them, to care for them, to nurture them in the way that God called you to, everything is going to be at peace. I want to leave you with this idea. You have been, as mothers, given a peace of God that we as men will never comprehend. That we will never comprehend. I will never be able to know the experience of what it's like to have a child that I've carried in my womb, to be able to hold that child in my arms, and to feel that instant connection of knowing that they came from me. You have a divine nature that a man cannot comprehend. That's why it's so sad to me when I see in our culture saying, I want to be everything other than what God created me to be. I want to be just a worker and never, ever, ever have a kid. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not judging that, okay? If God called you to a career, go in that career. But what I want you to understand is God has given you a divine nature, something that we cannot comprehend as men. And He has called you to love and to nurture your children in ways that we cannot do. And so, we can't treat this like a joke, because what God has done through you is to give us a blessing, a deep, deep blessing. Jesus Christ had that same love. He told them, "How long I have wished to gather you to me like a mother hen gathers her chicks." God loves you that way. He created you that way. that divine nature of God is there. It's time to embrace it. If you are here and you haven't given your life to Christ, He wants to hold you. He wants to tuck you in. He wants to protect you. He wants to give you everything. He wants to make you His child. We want to be a part of that. And if you would like to know what it takes to have that relationship, we want to do that for you. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for our mothers. We are so, so blessed to have them, to have our relationships with them, to know that they love us, that they care for us. Lord, I thank you for everything that you've made them and all the ways that you bless us through them. And Lord, as we honor you today, we just want to remember them too. Be with them, Lord. Give them the strength to raise their children in love, grace, and mercy. And Lord, I know that there are some here who may be feeling like, maybe I missed the boat. Remind them that they didn't miss anything, but that today is the day that they can show your love, mercy, and grace to their children and continue to walk with them, even if they've walked away from you, and show that love and grace. Give us as a people a willingness to honor our mothers and a willingness to love deeply. Pray this in your Son, Jesus Christ's most holy name. Amen.